It's just a blessing to have guests here, our regulars. Before we get started this morning, I just want to pray us in. Lord, we just welcome you into this house this morning, for we know that wherever more than one person is gathered, you are there with them. Lord, we just thank you for all these people that have gathered in your house today. Please allow your words to flow through this sermon, and just allow you to live in the hearts of each and every person that's here. And allow us to move on through this day and just continue to be the light, your light, that leads us through the day and allows us to shine in front of all the people we meet. And we just pray this in your wonderful Son's name. Amen. Amen. I do have to say, if I get a little nervous, I apologize. This is my first ever sermon. I got to give a shout out to Randy Mack, the original pastor here. He called me this morning, gave me that gung-ho, go-get-him attitude. He's been a mentor in my life. He started this church, and his spirit will always live here. His wife's spirit will always live here. And I just hope that he lives through me and that God comes out through me this morning. This morning, we're going to continue along with our series on Jesus Is. Jesus is our source of joy. That's what we're going to do this morning. And I got to say, when I first started working on this sermon this morning, I stumbled onto a couple letters. I'm going to read a couple of them. These are from children who actually wrote to Santa Claus. The first one here, "Dear Santa, you did not bring me anything good last year. You did not bring me anything good the year before that. This is your last chance." Signed, Alfred. Little humbling. Another one here. "Dear Santa, there are three little boys that live at our house. There is Jeffrey. He's 2. There is David. He's 4. Then there is Norman. He is 7. Jeffrey is good some of the time. David is good some of the time. But Norman is good all the time. I am Norman." I mean, you just got to chuckle. From the mouths of babes and kids, that's what this season's about. We see them grow. But, you know, if you could use one word to describe Christmas, what word might that be? What word would you use? I'll open it up. Anybody? Jesus Christ.
Craziness.
You're actually going a little bit with where I'm going here. But maybe because you know me, you've seen some of this.
Materialism.
Yeah. I might actually use headache, busyness, bothersome, expensive. To many people, yeah, you know, Christmas is just another day. A lot of us, Christmas is just another day. We don't really think about it. Sometimes it's just another day, only another bother, another trouble. You know, we don't know exactly where we're going to go. Some of us don't have any place to go. You know, but you know, even Christians use the words that I used to describe the day that we should celebrate, and then they leave it. You know, in this world, we hear "Happy Holidays." We don't hear "Merry Christmas," and unfortunately, Christians fall into that. I think we need to use these words to describe the day we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. I would like to also suggest, as we begin this beautiful season of the year, this Christmas season can be a time of joy. I know joy is just a small little 3-letter word, you know, but I'm going to give you a clue. We already had 2 songs this morning had the word joy in him. Can we name any others? What's that? Anybody? Joy to the world. We got Noah back there. Okay. Well, we did sing Joy to the World, and the sorrow song that we sang had joy in it. How about, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. I wonder how many of us are truly feeling joyful this morning. There's one, two, three. Hey, we're going. All right. I know it's hard to feel joy when you come. It's not hard to feel joy when you come to church in the morning and you sing all these wonderful songs. Just picks you right up, raises you up. It's just amazing that the worship team we have here and how they get us fired up in the mornings. But it's not always to feel joyful. It's not always easy to feel joyful. I know you can't always have joy in this frantic life that we live. Yeah, can you picture? I can. A lot of people running frantically around a mall. I think it's really easy to lose your joy running around a mall, especially this time of year. But I want to ask a question. Where does Christmas joy come from? I think maybe we need to give a listen to a little minor character.
Anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
I have a quote from Pastor Dean Willimon, and I think it puts this passage into perspective. Before I read that, can anybody tell me what or where that comes from in the Bible? Maybe Luke? Luke 2? And here, all these years, we've been watching this Christmas special on TV, did anybody ever realize how blatantly that was in front of each and every one of us as a Christian, but we never pick up on it? I personally, until I started studying for this sermon, I never knew it was there. I just happened to do a little search, and that popped up on the computer screen, and I listened to it, and I was like, wow, it's been there in front of us all these years. But let's read this quote from Pastor Dean Willimon. I really think it does put this passage into perspective. Christmas is a delightful disruption of the way things normally go. I really think the phrase delightful disruption catches the spirit of Luke 2. And you're probably going, delightful disruption? Well, let's see. Let's think about the shepherds. One moment, they're out in their fields, minding their own business. They're tending their sheep. It's the middle of the night. And the next thing, they're scared out of their wits. By what? By an angelic choir that shows up to them. Although I don't know how delightful that is, I do definitely know that is a direct disruption to their normal routine. Let's go look at Luke 2, verse 10. If you have your Bibles, you can open to that. Otherwise, it's going to be up on the screens. We have that wonderful technology and two great people back there that are taking care of it for me. Luke 2, verse 10 says, we got to remember this is the angels. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." I want to ask, what is this good news of great joy? Good tidings, it says there. I believe verse 11, that same section, has our answer. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I believe if you're looking for Christmas joy, it's found right in this verse. You don't have to look any farther. But let's look a little bit deeper. You know, we can't just leave that alone. We gotta go into this a little deeper. Let's look at the simple phrase, "born this day in the city of David." Yep, leave it right there for right now, Dave. Thank you. We got to remember the city of David, it's not Jerusalem, it's Bethlehem. If we really stop and look at the map, and we go and figure this out, Bethlehem is actually about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. So if you look on a map, it's actually down below it. It's today, Bethlehem is an Arab town under Palestinian control. But when Jesus was born, it was just a tiny little Jewish community. Bethlehem is also called the City of David. It's because David grew up along with his father Jesse and his seven brothers in Bethlehem. In fact, if you really want to get into it, David tended sheep in the same fields. And those fields were just outside the village. And it's just like the shepherds were doing the night the angels came to him when Jesus was born. There's another little fact that I found that actually 700 years earlier, before the birth of Jesus, the Lord spoke through a prophet. That prophet was Micah, and he declared that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So if we can put Micah up on the screens, you can turn to it in your Bibles if you want. I'm going to read it off of here. "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Wow, 700 years before we're being told. The King James Version reads a little bit differently than what I read, but everybody has their own version. I want to have you notice a little phrase here. "Though you are small among the clans of Judah." Just a little phrase in there. That prophecy actually came from the Lord in 700 BC when Bethlehem was a tiny little inconsequential town, just a little blip on the map. In fact, I doubt if it was on your top 10 vacation hit list at that time. I doubt if that's someplace you really just, we got to take a vacation here and load the kids up in your wagon and horses and haul on to Bethlehem. It was just a tiny little town. One thing working off of that I find just absolutely amazing is, The Jews that knew that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and we actually know that. We know that the Jews knew this from Matthew verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Okay, I got to look that up. That sounds a little funny to me. Let's stop and think about this. Yeah. Matthew 2 tells us that when the Magi came to Herod in Jerusalem, they asked, "Where is he who is King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Yeah, that's a very good question. Yeah. Where is the Messiah going to be born? That's basically what the Magi were asking. Where is the Messiah going to be born? Yeah, add on to this that Herod at the time, the ruler, he gathered a theology council together, and he asked the same question. And what was their response back to him? Well, they quoted Micah. And this is why the Jews knew God told them 700 years earlier exactly where Christ would be born. Think about it. There's no secret. God told everybody 700 years before. He didn't keep a secret. Now let's look at it a little differently. Isn't it funny to realize that the Magi have suddenly shown up in Jerusalem? And even though the theologians knew where the baby was to be born, and even though Bethlehem was only about 5 miles south of Jerusalem, not one of them cared enough to investigate this for themselves. They had to ask. It's pretty interesting. How many of us still need to ask? Now let's look at the shepherds again. You know, they must have been good Jews. They must have also known the prophecy of Micah. So when they heard the glad tidings that Christ has come, they responded by saying, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem." The theologians knew the truth, but would not act on it. The shepherds knew very little, but what they knew, they believed and immediately acted upon. It's a little humbling. So when we read City of David, we should remember that Jesus was born in fulfillment of a prophecy made 700 years earlier. It should also remind us that knowledge alone is never enough to save us. It's not what you know, but what you do with what you know that makes the difference. Now let's look back at Luke 2, verse 11 again. The angel says, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David." Let's just focus on three words. Born this day. They speak of the fact that what happened in Bethlehem was nothing less than the birth of a baby named Jesus Christ. Tells us right there. Born this day. There's two truths we need to mention out of this. First, there are no miracles associated with the physical birth of Jesus Christ. Have we ever thought about that? The birth was not a miracle. Even though we talk about the virgin birth of Christ, it's important to remember that a real miracle occurred 9 months prior. That miracle was when God overshadowed Mary and made her pregnant with Christ. That's the miracle What we have to really assume with this truth is that it was a normal birth. It was just a normal birth in unusual circumstances. It was in a manger. It wasn't by somebody that actually was there to help them. Second truth in this little verse is it's important to remind ourselves of the phrase, this day. What's that little phrase mean? It means it really happened. So when we read, unto you is born this day in the city of David, let us remember that it points to something true. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a myth. It's not a legend. Everything about the story is true, including the central truth that there really was a baby born in Bethlehem who really was the Son of God. Amen? Now let's look at the climax of the verse. A Savior which is Christ the Lord. Savior which is Christ the Lord. If we look at the Greek text, and thank you Google, because I looked up the Greek text. I got led that direction. I looked it up. I'm telling you, without Google, we wouldn't be able to do half the things we do as preachers here. You got to look at it, and when you look at the Greek text, you see that Luke didn't actually write it the way it is on the screen here. He didn't use any articles. It was actually written, Savior, Christ, Lord. It wasn't written, is Christ a Savior? It was Savior, Christ, Lord. Each word is equally important. And if you look a little farther, Savior is actually an Old Testament word meaning one who delivers his people. Lord is a term for a deity, a synonym for God. And Christ is the Greek version of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means the anointed one. We desperately need a Savior, don't we?
Every day.
When the angel announced the birth of Jesus to Joseph in Matthew 1:21, he said, give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I think that's why Christ came, to be a Savior for all who will turn to him. Not only that, but he came to be Lord and ruler of the universe. Today, he is the Lord of heaven, and one day he will return to set up his kingdom on earth for us. Between now and then, we Christians are called to make him Lord of our lives on a daily basis. That means we have to surrender our will to him and allow him to lead the way. I found a simple little prayer that works. Based on the truth that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and our lives will not work right until we completely surrender to him. I'm going to read it here. Heavenly Father, you are in charge of everything that will happen in my life today, the good and the bad, the positive and the negative. Please make me thankful for everything that happens to me today. Amen. I just believe that is so simple. Every day we need to get up and think about that. Let's move on a little bit. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. He is the Christ, the one sent from God. Let's think about it this way. If he had never come, would we have ever known it? I don't know. The truth of Jesus, really, if he would have never come, would have been forever hidden from us. What a thought. I do believe this is the heart of Christmas. God loved us enough to send his only begotten son. Or think about it this way. He didn't send a committee. He didn't gather a whole bunch of people together and say, here you go. I'm going to give you these people. He didn't send a book. He didn't write a book. Well, let's stop and think about it. Maybe he did. Maybe back then it wasn't all written down. He did send us a book. He didn't send a substitute. He sent his son. When we got ready to save the world, when God got ready to save the world, he sent the best that he had, his one and only son. And in sending Jesus, he was really sending himself. Wow, as I'm going through this, I'm even getting chills, stopping to think about this. He sent his son. This is the amazing truth of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. There's one final truth contained in the text that I think we need to consider. And I did most of this in the King James Version. And in the King James Version, this truth that I speak of, it comes first in the sentence. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Let us pause a moment. Consider who was speaking and who is being addressed in this verse. When the shepherds, those are the ones being addressed, heard these words from the angel, the speaker, they must have been flabbergasted. They must have been standing there going, what? We tend to overlook the fact that the shepherds were the bottom of the social order in Israel at that time. They were often poor and uneducated. Not many people would pick shepherd on their career list. Yeah, or I doubt if nowadays shepherd shows up on any of the modern day tests for what your career might be. But I found a Pastor Doug Goins. He describes how shepherds were viewed back then very vividly. Shepherds were a despised class with a bad reputation. They were known as thieves because they were nomadic, and as they moved their sheep around the countryside, they sometimes confused what was mine and what was thine. They were all tarred with the same brush. I can just picture that, walking up in the middle, pulling one of them in, and one brush, throw the tar all over one of them. And this is a little vivid. They were tarred with the same brush, untrustworthy and dishonest. They were not allowed to give a testimony in Jewish court of law. Their work made it impossible for them to observe the Jewish ceremonial laws and the temple rituals. They were considered religiously unclean and unacceptable. In other words, they were considered social outcasts. Throw them out the door. We don't want to see them in here. I believe that when the angels say, to you is born, to you is born, they are really saying, Christ came for the lowly shepherds. But what about those theologians in Jerusalem who knew but did not care? Well, he came for them too. They just didn't care. So the truth is, when Christ came, his birth was first announced to the outcasts of society. They were the first ones to hear the good news of the Christians and the good news of Christmas. There's a lesson in this for all of us. Our Lord came for the forgotten people of the earth, and most of the time, they are the ones who receive him with the greatest joy. Let's go to Bethlehem, see what this is about. The other part of that is rich people often have no time for Christ, but the poor welcome him as an honored guest. Could be talking two different ways there, but let's use poor in spirit as the best way. How about a simple application? The angel said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, unto you, for you. He came for you, each and every one of us." This is where Christmas, I believe, becomes intensely personal. It's not enough to say absentmindedly that we believe Christ came. Millions of people say that and are lost to their sins. We see it every day. It's not enough to say that Christ came for someone else. We can do that. We do that every day. You can never be saved until you say, "Christ came for me. He died for me. He rose from the grave for me." He came for you. Do you believe that? In just a few days, Christmas will be here. Kids are probably counting the hours. Families will gather around Christmas trees to open their presents. In fact, I honestly believe there's some kids in here counting the days and the hours down to when they're going to wake up in the morning and see all those presents and be able to dig into them. But let's stop. When you receive your gifts this Christmas, what will you do? Will you not open them? What use is a gift that is never open? Years ago, God sent a gift lying in a manger and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Jesus is God's gift to you. I truly believe that. He's a gift to me. Have you opened it? I have. You will never, I believe, experience Christmas joy until you personally receive God's gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. I close with the words of the angels to the shepherds. "Fear not, for I behold I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. And what is the source of that joy? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Joy to the world, the Lord has come." Just amazing to know that Jesus walked among us and is still among us. He's in our hearts and he's that gift. And I just ask each and every person here to open that present this year. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we move forward through this Christmas season, please just remind each and every person here that the true gift, the gift that you gave us, was your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I do believe that as long as we accept Jesus in our lives, that gift will work in us each and every day. Lord, I do ask that you continue to be with all these people here as we move through the day, through this season. Remember that joy can be all around us and can be in us and shared to each and every person. Lord, I do thank you for this church, Cornerstone, the people that are in it, the leadership, and all the people and visitors that have come here today. Lord, I just ask that you bless us and carry us on through this season. And again, we just pray this in your wonderful Son's name. Jesus Christ. Amen.